Christmas is upon us, which I love. Love. Not that I'm done shopping, but I'm very excited for the foretold coming of Christ as we continue our series on the foretold, because as we look in the Old Testament, it was a little different in that time. I mean, we're pretty lucky at Christmas. We come to remember Christ came just as baby and grew up and died for us. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they were hoping for, looking forward to. And then last week, Pastor Jake hit the expectation, digging in, you know, the first book of the Bible from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, is the promise of God. No matter how much the world has fallen, the promise of God is what is to come. And sometimes I'm so happy that we are New Testament people. It's one thing to say, God will come, He will rescue you. I think there were some challenges for that. There were challenges for that. We're so blessed. God has come. Christ is not just some theory. He literally came. He walked through this earth. He understands exactly what we walk through. He is the God who loves us, who died, and who is alive, giving us hope in every circumstance and in every situation. You know, as I was getting ready for this, I was just digging through all the prophecies, right? The Old Testament people, the prophecies. Because I got like 15 solid prophecies in my brain, you know, coming of Christ. I start, you know, going online, checking up all the prophecies, which of course, I'm a judgment guy. I look at their prophecies and I have to check them and make sure they're accurate, but that's just me. But as I'm going through this, I mean, it's like, oh, there's more than 15, there's 30, there's 60, there's 80 prophecies of what is to come. I mean, unbelievable how much this was what the Old Testament people leaned on, the hope they had of the future. And it's a lean on thing for us as well, that there is something ahead because of Jesus. Now, as we look at this Old Testament time, if you want to, we look in Judges chapter 6 and 7 primarily are the chapters dealing with Gideon, this amazing man of God who is a very different story for people than, say, what we see faith as and how it works. Gideon is in a time but the nation of Israel has been given, right, this land, taken out of Egypt, out of their slavery. They're now established in this land. They've been given all these gifts of God, and now they're living in this land. And some undealing with things have occurred. They're living in the land, but now they have this problem. You know, they plant all the food for them to eat. But the Midianites, they pretty much, in this culture, there's no watching over. So the Midianites, they're a group of people that wait till everything grows, then they attack and come steal all the food and leave. And the people don't have food. They're struggling even for their own life. And they're calling to God, and it's interesting that in the right before, in chapter 6, there is this reality that God says, you aren't even paying attention to me. I'm the God who gave you this land, and you're not even paying attention to me. This is happening, and now you finally call to me? And Gideon is hilarious. He's one of the rare ones. An angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and he starts it off, right? And he says, oh, he says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. I mean, there's quite a statement to him. You mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And unlike most of the time when angels pull up and people dive down and they're like, oh, Gideon, he's like kind of, he's on the tick-off reality. Have any of you ever been in the tick-off reality? He is just like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, the Lord who loves me. How do you even say that? What's going on? Yeah, you saved us out of Egypt, but where are you now? Where are you now? And it's astounding. I mean, he even says, the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of the Midianites. I mean, that's where he's feeling. That's where he's at. And I can't imagine that you have had those moments as well. Those times where you're just saying, oh, Lord, what's going on? Lord, why are you allowing this? Lord, do you not even care about me? Lord, are you even real? We have these moments, these struggles, these challenges that come, these doubts. And it is such a different life when you're living a life by doubt, by worry, by anger, instead of living by the joy and the expectation of Christ. You know, we have these Advent reality, and this Advent season is preparing us for the coming Christ, which is what the Old Testament was. These were people who were hoping forward that God was coming, that there was an answer for their struggles. I'm kind of really happy to be a New Testament Christian. For Christ has come. Now, Gideon, there's no question, as this goes on and he throws these at the angel responds to him and he says, go, you know, I am going to use you to save Israel. And Gideon's immediate response is like us in our struggle times. Huh? How can I do that? How am I going to save Israel? I don't understand. Tell me. How are you going to do this, God? And what is common in our life of faith, and I want you to understand and know this, when we bring our worries, our fears, our requests, our understanding, Lord, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. A lot of times, God does not answer the question. He simply turns to Gideon and he says, I will be with you. That's it. I'm not going to tell you how it works. I'm not going to tell you my exact plan and exactly all the things that are going to happen. Just go. Just go. And trust in me. This is a big deal for each and every one of our lives. In the Old Testament, it was loaded with this. In Genesis chapter 15, you got Abraham. You've got Abraham, and he's getting ready to have his child and his wife. You know, his wife is someone that is so old. I mean, Abraham's almost 100 years old, and she is just, you know, maybe just, you know, 70-something, and is told and has been told for years, you're going to have a child, and I'm sure she wished for a child, and now she's stuck with a servant saying you're going to have a child. It's like, it's too late. Quit bringing it up. It's kind of bothersome to me that you keep bringing this up. It's done. Stop it. And God continues to say, you're going to have a child. In fact, as we go through in chapter 15, you know, she laughs. This is silly. This is silly. And God answers her, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? You draw your limits on what your life is. Do you know that the Lord God, the one who is mighty, the one whose hand is over all things, is on your side? There is a reason for hope. There is a reason for joy. Luke chapter 1, I mean, the same situation. Mary is pregnant, and she turns to God, and she says, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And God responds to her, nothing is impossible with God. This is a common thing of God. Not coming and explaining how it's going to happen. Not coming and telling you, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. He's just saying, I am the God, and I am the one in charge of this world, and I have my plans. Just trust me and follow me. For me, one of the biggest is Job. That Old Testament man that has such devastating thing happen, things taken away, people dying as part of his life, everything that he's worked hard for is just washed away. And this is a devastating situation. And he has all these people coming to him saying, look, what'd you do? What'd you do? You did this. No, you did this. I think sometimes when we go through struggles of life, we look and we say, oh, I created this own struggle. I'm so sorry. But then there are other times like Job where, why is this happening? Why is this happening? I don't understand. I didn't do anything to deserve this. I didn't do anything. I mean, I've done lots of things wrong, but why this? Some things are challenging. And Job, you know, this man who is just making his case all the way through and winning every argument and saying, you know, he's not under punishment. He's not being hit by God. And he's so truthful and so done, because he's like, I don't know why God's making this happen. This is so cruel. And Lord, just kill me. This is just crazy. Just kill me. I'm just ready to go home. It's fine. But this is devastating. And God comes to Job and he says it. And does he answer his questions and say why this is happening? Does Job ever know the reason why all this happened? Never. God comes to him and says, who is it that darkens my counsel? Who speaks empty words without knowledge? Brace yourself up like a man and answer me now if you can. I mean, God does this in our life. When there are hard times, a lot of times we ask why, and I can tell you that there are a lot of times God doesn't give you an answer. He doesn't want you to follow him because you have it all clear in your mind. He wants you simply to trust and follow where he leads. To listen, to pray to him, to talk with him, to find our faith and trust in him. Not in the answers to how it all works and what all is going on. One of the toughest books, it's funny, it's often, you know, Martin Luther was somewhat struggling a little bit with James, the book of James, because it's not a book that's just talking about God's grace to you and his love for you. James has some pretty strong statements to hit. And James chapter 1 is loaded. And it starts like this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. What? It's not like God's, it's not like he's saying, oh yeah, just work your way, God's with you. No, consider it a joy when you face trials of many kinds. I mean, that starts it off pretty strong already. I'm a guy who, I've had this, and I can't say this is what the scripture says, but this is something that's been on my heart for years. When hard moments come, I'm under the assumption that pretty much things are hard because Satan is trying to stop me from getting to the great things ahead. And I just, you know what? Great things ahead, hard things happening, guess what? I know there's great things, so now I just got to kind of work through this hard time because Satan's doing everything he can to just give me give up. Just trying to get me to give up. But no. No, there are great things ahead because who is in charge? The Lord your God, the one who loves each and every one of you deeply and the one who has his plans for you and the struggles that come, they're struggles. But no, we don't know the reasons. We don't know the exact plans, but we know the Lord our God. We New Testament Christians, we know the one who died for us, the one whose spirit is in our hearts and in our lives. James, loaded. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you are mature and complete, not lacking anything. He continues, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But when you ask, this is a biggie, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For the man who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man will receive nothing from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. God does not want us to hold on to our doubts. He does not want us to hold on to our fears. He does not want us to hold on to our anger. He wants us to hold on to Jesus, the one who's greater than our doubt, the one who's greater than our fear, the one who is greater than even our anger. God has a plan. And if we hold on, we become people instead of those negative, frustrating, driving nuts things in our life. We're the people who have joy, the people who walk with peace no matter what the circumstance, the people who have hope no matter what we face. You know, this Old Testament is filled with people, Abraham and Sarah and Gideon and even Mary before the birth of Christ, these people who had not even been there yet for the coming Savior. Be thankful, you New Testament Christians, for we hold on to the truth of what has happened. Now, it's not always easy. Jesus himself knew this. In Mark chapter 8, we read this. Oh, no, we didn't read it in this service, but it's one of the scriptures in your bulletin. It's a big one. Because Mark, there is this situation where there's this person who needs to be healed, and Jesus comes and he does the healing and all that. But, you know, as he's getting ready to heal and everything, there's all this doubt, and Jesus even says the fact, you know, you people, you have no faith. What's your problem, man? And the person calls to God, and I think it's something that we call to God all the time. It's a great quote. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. In the struggles that we have in life, it's not like you need to get better for God to use you. We just need to talk with God, to lean on God, to pour to God. I believe you, Lord. I know I have a reason for joy. I know, Lord, that you got your plan. Help my unbelief. Help my fear. Help my anger. Help my struggles. You know, as a church, we've been supporting Swaziland for years. And for me, one of the greatest moments of supporting Swaziland was going to Swaziland. And you go down to these people who have nothing, people who have no future planned. And we have all our worries and stresses. Oh, future, we got to get everything set for the future. Or not even enough necessarily food for this week. People who sometimes have lost husbands, parents, kids. And I can tell you, the people of Swaziland are a whole lot more joyful than us Americans. Why? Because they know where their joy comes from. The God who made them is with them. The God who loves them has his plan for them. And nothing can take away the gift of Christ. The gift of eternity, it's ours completely. But the gift of his presence with us, the gift of the God who uses us in mighty ways, the gift of the God who gives us strength even in our fears, the gift of the God who gives us peace even in our struggles, the gift of God who helps set us free from the anger and the doubts and the fears that we have. This is Christmas coming up. And there's a reason why it's a joyful time, but let me tell you, the birth of Christ, there's no reason to doubt, no reason to fear. I'm glad I'm not an Old Testament guy. Glad I'm not just hoping that Jesus comes. Christ was born. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day so grateful, Lord, that we celebrate this Christmas season, that you, the very God that we worship, became a little child. You, the God who made this world and watched us walk away from it, watched us break down everything. You're the God who lived among that. You're the God who understands the struggles, the fears, and the pains that we have. You're the God who's greater than everything we face. You're the God who uses us in mighty ways. You're the God who many times we don't have an answer. We don't know why, we don't know how, but you just simply say, follow me. And Lord, we follow you. We grab hold of the gift of Christ. We listen to you, we talk to you, we share our hearts with you, and we live in the joy of having the God who is with us. We live with the confidence of the Christ and the Spirit of God that is in us. We live because of you, and that sets us free. Lord, thank you so much. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.